the theme continues yet, which we began on Christmas morning, and Christmas night, of course, at midnight, that wonderful, wonderful Mass that we are privileged to celebrate every year. And this continues in the introit of today's Mass, a Sunday within the octave of Christmas. While all things were in quiet silence, and the night was in the midst of her course, with beautiful poetic language the Scriptures use in the liturgy, Thy almighty word, O Lord, came from heaven, from Thy royal throne. What a magnificent message that is to us. And that is exactly what happened, and what is happening. It still happens at every single Mass. Well, all things were in quiet silence. The Son of God, who was born of the most holy, immaculate Virgin Mary, the co-redemptrix of all mankind, the mediatrix of all graces, through her he was born in Bethlehem, in the cave at midnight, where she placed him in the manger where the cattle ate. The almighty word, O Lord, came from heaven. And that happens at every Mass. While you are at silent prayer, kneeling before the God that is our God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, at the moment of the consecration, he again comes down. The mystery of the liturgy, which repeats again and again and again, the same mystery. It does not happen again in a sense, but it happens. It is all connected in history, all the way back to the creation of the universe, to the promise of the Messiah after the sin of Adam and Eve, which we all have inherited, and by which we have been cleansed in the most holy sacrament of baptism. And at that moment, while we are there praying, and I standing there in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Church, and in prayer for you, at that moment, at the word or the words of consecration of the bread and wine, that same Almighty Son of God comes down from heaven, from Thy royal throne. The Lord hath reigned, and He is in His royal throne. He is clothed with beauty. The Lord is clothed with strength, and hath girded Himself with glory. And so it happens even today, as we meditate on the wondrous mysteries of the birth of our Lord. And of course, we have, both in the Epistle of St. Paul to the Galatians and in the Gospel, according to St. Luke, the beloved physician who sat and knelt at the feet of Mary, most holy, and listened to all the different things she had to say about the birth of her beloved Son, Jesus Christ, who had already ascended into heaven, gloriously returning to His throne. And from there, He sends down, if you could see them, the many, many rays upon rays, to all of us who are worthy of them, if we are not in the state of mortal sin, or original sin, which is mortal sin. And if we are not in that horrible state, our souls can be filled with the glory that is His. And we can be lifted up to Him spiritually, and hoping that at the end of our lives, we can be lifted up to Him physically at the resurrection and our judgment. But here we see again, the Holy Family is very, very much preponderant here. In these days, of course, we should meditate upon the Holy Family. And in the last 2 weeks, we've had two weddings. How wonderful. It is based on the Holy Family and on the sacrament which Christ ratified at the wedding feast of Cana, which we shall celebrate in just a few days. He blesses that marriage of those two. And he does bless the marriages of all his children to unite themselves before his throne, before his priest, and commit themselves to each other until the end of their lives. And here we have a foretaste of the presentation in the temple, which we'll celebrate on February the 2nd, as we always do. And we have St. Simeon the prophet, and St. Anna, the prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. And they have been prepared by the Holy Spirit. And perhaps you too, I too, perhaps we have been prepared by the Holy Spirit. And we can proclaim the glory of God who has come to us. But no rose is without a thorn. And when you hold it, it pricks your finger and blood spurts out. Because in this life, joy is commingled with sorrow. And so here we have the Blessed Mother who is filled with joy at these things. And they wondered at everything that was being said. And then all of a sudden, St. Simeon tells her, "And you yourself, your heart shall be pierced by a sword." Imagine hearing that. That in itself is suffering. Bad news is suffering. But this bad news is a foretaste of that which she will suffer, because she, as co-redemptrix, suffers with Christ in the passion and death, and rejoices with Christ at the resurrection. So you yourself, your heart, shall be pierced with a sword. And then Anna comes forward and begins to praise God and to praise the child, because now the promises of God have come true. And they still come true. Here in our midst, where you are, where I am, where I will be in a moment, in the most glorious thing that any human being can ever do, and not any human being, only those who are chosen by God, to be able to bring the Son of God from heaven to the altar by the power of the Holy Spirit, of the sacred chrism, with which the hands of all priests are consecrated, the presence of the Holy Spirit. What a wondrous thing it is. So how can we not be at peace? How can we not be in love with Him? How can we not rejoice in Him when He comes to our altar again? When we kneel before Him, when we receive Him, if we can do so, in a state of grace, never in the state of mortal sin. And He comes to dwell in us as He came to the cave of Bethlehem. And you are to hold Him, embrace Him, and you are to wrap Him up in swaddling clothes, because He is your God and your Lord. And He is your best friend, the only best friend that you can possibly have, Jesus Christ, the Lord. So today, as we celebrate these sacred mysteries, and we prepare to celebrate on January the 1st, the feast of the circumcision of that child, when He is to be named Jesus, that is, Savior, for He has saved His people from their sins, by St. Joseph the Just, the Silent, His putative father, who is given this trust by God the Father to take care of His Son, to take care and to protect him and his mother. Oftentimes we see in the Gospels, especially St. Matthew's Gospel, take the child and his mother. Never says, take your child. Take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt. Out of Egypt I have called my son. And then return and go to Nazareth to protect him and his mother, because he shall be called a Nazarene. All these words of the Gospel, which we hope you are meditating upon in your own spiritual life, to build yourselves up, to fill yourselves up, and to almost, as it were, be elevated to heaven, to Christ the Lord, these are there for you. And Holy Mother, the Church, repeats them again and again to us, especially in the most holy season of the Nativity of Christmas, which ends on February the 2nd. May God come to your hearts. May He fill you with His love, with His joy, with His wisdom, and all the virtues possible. And may you worship Him as you ought. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.